Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. The New Yorker's assault on nature in their effort to redefine normal launches an attack on the evangelical mind. In Michael Lewis' March 4, 2021 article, "The Wasting of the Evangelical Mind." Boy, there's an interesting article for you. Why are the LGBTQIA plus? What's with the plus? What's plus? Are you a plus? I'm asking for a friend. Tucker Carlson wants to know. But what I want to know is, why are the LGBTQIAers, plusers, so angry? Lighten up. There's angry, then there's so angry. Let's explore the psychodrama of the queer set, shall we? Human trafficking gets assistance from Biden's Health and Human Services under Becerra. Now wait till you hear what a whistleblower from inside HHS has to say about what she saw firsthand going on with the migrant minors crossing our borders. And how about an update on the next pandemic, Nimrod Rising? A confirmation of what those of us who are of the evangelical mind already knew: Fauci lied and millions died. Finally, the effort to destroy Tucker will backfire. Will Tucker's departure from Fox be the earthquake in the media world that finally takes down the entire MSM establishment media empire? My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
It's all about truth. Did you view Tucker's first general public statement after his departure from Fox? 55 million views at the time I looked at it, and still counting. It was elegant in that he did not whine like little baby Donnie Lemon or even mention the separation from Fox, didn't bring it up. Instead, he went straight to the point, the very sad state of truth in America today, with a positive declaration that truth will survive. It always does. And his observation on the ridiculousness of the current orthodoxies is, it's just brilliant. Let's let him say it. Here you go.
Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail.
Thank you, Tucker. You know, Fox lost a huge share of audience in the 8 p.m. market, the day, in that demographic, the day Tucker walked away from their mics. And I'll speak to this later, but you could depend on it, Tucker will be back, already coming back. His statement has received, as I mentioned, well over 55 million views. And here is something else you can depend on. The brain masseur has been at this mic speaking truth to Santa Maria and surrounding cities, and then through our podcast and extended outreach, since about 1999. Well, we didn't start the podcast too much later. But anyway, and so long as our Heavenly Father gives me breath and provides a mic, I'll continue. By the way, we're going to offer a Lights On banquet. You might remember us doing that in the past. It was wonderful. We had a great time. We haven't done one in a while. We're going to do it again next year, around April. And watch for coming announcements. We'll be providing our God and Gunclinger home defense kit drawing. Remember that? An awesome home defense weapon with a brand new genuine cowhide leather-bound Bible, signed by the brain masseur, of course. How about that? And, of course, the best Santa Maria-style tri-tip meal anywhere. anywhere in Santa Maria, and therefore anywhere in the world. I'll treat you to a live performance of the Brain Massage Show, and it's coming in 2024. Let's examine the New Yorkers' absurd assault on nature. In their effort to redefine normal, Michael Luhol attacks the evangelical mind, essentially arguing evangelicals don't have one, or at least not much of one. Really, I'm serious. These people are amazing. Michael Luhol, I hope I'm saying that somewhat close to correctly, is the first generation Pittsburgh-born U.S. citizen of Taiwanese parents who immigrated into the U.S. from Taiwan, of course, and the current editor of TheNewYorker.com. So this is the fellow responsible for what gets placement in that digital magazine. He came to The New Yorker from The New York Times, where he wrote as an investigative reporter. With a BA from Harvard, his lightning-fast fingers bangs out articles advancing the ideology of the left, taking jabs at the right. You know, he's so brave. But this time, he decided to take a shot at the entire evangelical community. Yeah. And if you read this article, and I have it posted here, you would get the impression that, well, he put on his investigative journal hat for this one, or journalist hat for this one. It's full of the typical confused misunderstanding of evangelical Christianity in America that we have come to expect from, well, from this institution founded on a debate over soteriology, Harvard, the school he went to, in which a humanistic view of the gospel was adopted over a grace-centered view. At the time, it was a minor course deviation, but one that, over time, brought that institution to its current full embrace of the oxymoron of Christian humanism. But enough about Harvard. The article in The New Yorker is an impressive revelation of just how deep is the fear and loathing of the left against biblical, or shall I say, evangelical Christianity. Wow. These guys really are shaking in their bootsies at the prospects of evangelical Christians rising up and reasserting themselves in American life or politics. I think I feel Luhol trembling as he opens with a description of what he called, quote, the most jarring scenes of the Capitol invasion. End quote. Yeah, he called it an invasion. We can start there. But how backward is this progressive? Yes, aren't they all? The invasion was going on inside on the House floor, not on the Senate floor, where a Christian invoked the name of Jesus and a goofball and a Viking horns and self-styled QAnon shaman. That's the Cambridge, Massachusetts pronunciation, by the way. In the UK, you say shaman. Saying a prayer of thanksgiving for the Capitol Police who escorted him to the Senate floor. Yeah. Now that's scary. Oh, no. From there, the Harvard poisoned mind convulses over what he refers to as falsehoods about a stolen election, which, in his view, drove the Capitol invasion. The invasion facilitated by the Capitol Police, who waved the Patriots in and escorted the quintessential representative of Baalism. Think about it. A shaman Christian, really? But Luhol misses all that and thinks that while people who believe it's totally unreasonable to believe Biden got 80 million votes, you know, or that Murdoch calling Arizona ridiculously early, I mean absurdly early, and that when Trump was winning, voting mysteriously stopped, and when it restarted, oh, voila, Biden was in the lead. Well, what do you know about that? And then all the stuff that came out about the machines and how they're connected to they can't be connected to the internet, and so they weren't. They can be connected to the internet, but they weren't because they're not supposed to. And so it's just ridiculous. You know, get out of our face, you bunch of idiots. It's obvious that that election was stolen. Anyway, crazy people like that, you know, who had those concerns, that drove the Capitol invasion. But what really got the whole thing going, according to Luhol, was distorted visions of Christianity. Yeah, that's where he finally lays the blame. I mean, hey, there were people there carrying wooden crosses and banners. That's scary. You know, stuff like that. Well, imagine this. There's a guy that had a banner that said, "In God we trust." Oh, no. Doesn't that idiot know? Maybe I shouldn't say this very loud. I don't want him to hear this. He's going to freak out. But that's on every bill of currency issued by the United States. Oh, and here's a banner that definitely settles the question whether these people occupying the Senate floor were fanatical religious zealots out to overthrow the government. A banner that read, "Jesus is my savior. Trump is my president." Oh, and here's one that'll scare you. "Make America godly again." Oh, no, can't have that. And oh my, some even blew shofars. What? That was particularly scary because, as Lou pointed out, these are reminders of the march around Jericho and the blowing of the ram's horns that brought down the walls of that city. This guy's an idiot. All of this offered, perhaps what he presented as, quote, "the most unequivocal evidence yet of the American church's role in bringing the country to this dangerous moment," end quote. So now he's blaming the churches. Well, you know, it's actually sad that someone so educated can be so utterly stupid. Anyway, from here, Luo attempts to sort out how it all happened, and he misses it entirely. But actually, that's not my point right now. Actually, the point I'm making is more basic. Luo argues that evangelicals are the boorish remnants of what's left of an American Christianity once enlightened, once a friend of science, and at one with reason, champions the mental powers of intelligence, leading the nation to progressive thought by example. He laments the day Puritan ministers like Edwards grappled with metaphysics and epistemology when C.S. Lewis and Reinhold Niebuhr struck a fine intellectual figure in the world, when T.S. Eliot and W.H. Auden buttressed their art with orthodoxy. But alas, it all went sideways when revival fire swept across the plains. Luo liked the refined intellectual Christianity. I find it curious what examples of genteel Christianity he chose. Really, with the exception of Edwards, Luo avoided, Spurgeon? How about Schaeffer, to get a little more contemporary? I find it curious he omits someone like McDowell and literally hundreds of others whose brilliance could only be gainsaid or ignored by the likes of such a dark and puny mind as this guy. I mean, really? So that's his explanation for how the churches have brought the nation to such a dangerous place? Now, I can certainly, Biden hasn't and the left hasn't, right? But the churches, I can certainly attest to the failure of the churches and to their contribution to bringing us to the maw of hell itself. Oh, I've had much to say about that. But like all liberals today, Luo has it exactly backwards. He says the problem is the church, quote, "obsessing over biblical inerrancy," end quote. But my friend, it is precisely because the church has dismissed the authority of Christ and his inspired and preserved word that the church has lost its authority in this world. Removing itself out from under the authority of its head, Christ, who, after all, is identified in the Bible as, in the beginning, the Word. Which word is truth? It is because the church moved out from under the Word as truth and subordinated itself the Word itself to the world. I mean, instead of reproving the world by the Word, they subordinated the Word to the world. When the church removed itself out from under the absolute authority of the Scripture, sola scriptura, does anybody remember that one? It lost its divine authority to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I noticed that it's right here, interestingly, that Luo actually makes about, 3 very excellent observations worthy to be considered by Christ's churches today. It's just like the devil, is it not? To plant his most a devious lie right there in the middle of three little truths. Yeah, right there he hides his most critical lie, the real poison. Jesus placed his churches in the earth to be the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the Word, and his scripture is the scripture of truth. And by his scripture, we are to reprove the world. That is, we're supposed to correct it, to instruct it in the way of Christ's righteousness. Have you ever read John 16, 7 through 11 there? But the churches have, generally, cast the word into the street, presuming to elevate the mind of man above the mind of God. Let me tell you, Patriot, the reason we cannot get equity to enter into our culture, the reason judgment and justice are removed from us, well, Isaiah tells us, and here it is, quote, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Why? He goes on to say, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. That's Isaiah 59:14. I've already gone over my time for this first segment. I need to take a break because I want to sell some books, right? And you need to buy some, right? But really, if you don't have God's War, go to wherever you buy books and get it. Go to www.godswar2020.com and you'll find several ways to get at the book from Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere you buy books. You can get the digital version for only $10. And you'll get it right away. Anyway, hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Does it seem to you that Satan is getting the upper hand in your life, your home, your church, and in our nation? How can this be? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I have one more point to make about the article written by New Yorker's editor, lambasting evangelicals as being responsible for bringing America to the brink, or and characterizing them as ignorant and anti-intellectual. That's getting old. In his article's titled, The Wasting of the Evangelical Mind, and it is actually the most obscene and truly offensive, repugnant to any reasonable mind, the statement that's come from these liberals so far. Why do I say that? Well, this guy represents Christians, I mean Bible-believing Christians, as being disconnected from reality, at war with the mind or with intellect. You got to be kidding me. This guy, Lowell, the editor of the New Yorker, you know, the fellow responsible for the content of his magazine, he, of all people, has the audacity, the impudence, the outrageous effrontery to say we, evangelical or Bible-believing Christians, are anti-intellectual, in opposition to reason and out of touch with reality? Really? Okay. Let's take a look at some of the content he passes on for inclusion in The New Yorker over the last year or two. Lowell has presented the following articles in The New Yorker. Quote, the folly of censoring Joyland, a sublime film about family, end quote. Okay, well, this movie depicts queer love against the backdrop of a Pakistani household. The author says the story that is told in that movie, quote, feels as familiar as our families are to us, end quote. Okay, all right. April 12, 2023. Written by Hamid Hanif. The film won Queer Palm Prize for Best LGBTQ, Queer, or Feminist Theme Movie at the festival. That's the Cannes Film Festival, by the way. And by the way, all this is documented in these notes if you want it, let me know. Actually, you can just go to our website and get it. Another article, Yellow Jackets, and the Problem of Women Eating One Another. Okay. That's real high-level intellectual stuff right here. The new season of the Showtime series offers a twist on a tradition that stretches back to Melville, treating cannibalism as a kind of love language. These people are just too much. That was April 10, 2023, by Tyler forget. Anyway, a fellow survivor, this is what this book's about, a fellow survivor of a plane wreck died. It's all women, by the way, who survived this thing. And during the cremation of one of them, whose name is Jackie, a snowbank fell on the smoldering body. Well, the smell of barbecued Jackie triggered a feeding frenzy among the other all-female survivors. I think one of them might have said something like, "I want some meats," right? And then someone responded, "Yeah." And then looked at a fellow survivor and said, "She looks fresh." I don't have the accent, you know, but anyway. But then the snow fell on the smoldering barbecue body of Jackie, and another said, "Looks like meat's back on the menu, girls." And they went at it like a swarm of piranha. I added that, by the way. Here's another gem published in the New Yorker. An experiment in querying fine dining at Hag's. Quote, at the East Village restaurant, opened by a queer couple, the menu offered as a 3 or 5 course tasting leans cerebral. This stuff. March 24, 2023. By the way, Hannah Goldfield is the writer of that one. Here you go. Here's a good one. The possibilities for experiencing queerness through food are rich. Really. The restaurant featured a homo hand salad. Have you ever heard of a hetero burger? How about a straight salad? No, you never have, and you never will. It's only these homosex, crazed, fixated people that are so obsessed with sex they can't eat a hand salad unless it's called homo hand salad. It's just, these people are ridiculous. Hey, here's another one. Masha Gessen on the war against trans rights. And then the little blurb here. Quote, the right's fixation on gender reminds the writer of Putin's Russia, which targeted LGBTQ people. Gessen explains why the message of rolling back social change is powerful. In quote, March 13, 2023, written by Gessen. Really? You got to be kidding me. We are fixated on gender? The normal heterosexual community, they are fixated on gender? Really? Are you beginning to get my point? This guy is telling us that the evangelicals have no mind? And then here's another one. What became of the Oscar streaker after Robert Opel dashed naked across the stage in 1974? He ran for president and settled into the gay leather scene in the orbit of Robert Mapplethorpe. Remember him with the cross in the urine and all this. And Harvey Milk. What a joke. Here's another article, this fellow. This real smart guy that all the evangelicals are boorish, non-intellectuals. And this really smart, intellectual, Harvard guy, you know. Here's another article he puts out there. The queer children's book targeted by conservative lawmakers. Jessica Winter surveys a genre of literature that is being banned across the country. Oh, no. And considers what its removal from school libraries could mean for young people. That's December 28, 2022 by Jessica Winter. The right is banning books? Excuse me? No. The right is not saying you can't print or publish these vile, perverse indoctrination curriculums. You publish it. They're just saying, keep it out of my kid's face. You keep your junk away from my child. That's what we're saying to you. You keep your warped view of gender and sexuality away from my children. Yet Lowell would support throwing patriots protesting an election into jail and suppressing their free speech, and indeed suppressing the free speech of any, raising questions about the election, and restrict the free speech of any objecting to the LGBTQIA plus lifestyle or agenda. I mean, it goes past hypocrisy, friend. Way past that. These queers target our children, suppress our free speech, encroach on our liberties, and have the pugnacious impudence to accuse us of book banning? Because we don't want them shoving this perverse nonsense into the faces of our children? I'm done with these crazy, Looney Tune, moral perverts twisting everything around as if we're attacking their rights when daily they're trampling all over ours. I'm done with this. Now, here's another article in the New Yorker. Quote, my year in queer spaces, end quote. And in the blurb there, as schools banned books and state legislatures passed anti-trans bills, bars offered something holy. December 15, 2022. This is the real intelligent Harvard educated fellow. Brian Washington is the writer of this one. Objecting to schools using certain books to teach our children is not book banning. Can you believe these wicked people? Hey, what about the Bible? You demented people are just infuriating. You banned the Bible. You banned the name of Jesus. A kid can't even wear a hat that says MAGA, which means Make America Great Again, without flipping you out. And you dare talk to me about my concern that you don't use a book that describes homosexual acts that are obscene, vile, and dangerous to my child. No, no, and no. You're not doing this. We're done. Okay. Friend, listen. This fellow, Lowell, pushes homosex, a life-threatening lifestyle that cuts life expectancy almost in half of those who practice it, almost in half of normal people. Yeah, you see, there is normal. That's a word, and it has a meaning. And then there's abnormal. Another word, it has a meaning. Normal is what conforms to, well, let's just say nature as the standard for normal. How's that? Nature. Abnormal is what goes contrary to nature. Homosex is against nature, contrary to nature. Anyone with half an ounce of sense knows that. But just in case you need a little help from the Creator, well, he tells you that straight up, in his word. This behavior, homosexuality, is unnatural. Romans 1:26. But Lowell, who implies, although I think it's honest to say, he plainly says it. Bible-believing Christians are, in his mind, ignorant rubes that are anti-intellectual, and yet he advocates sympathy for those who claim men can be women, women can be men, gender's fluid, decided by the individual, that men can call themselves a woman and invade a woman's athletics, taking unfair advantage over women in their sports events, literally just eliminating women. It's disgusting. We must stop tolerating this nonsense. This is not tolerance, my friend. This is aiding and abetting the destruction of not only, just of women entirely. It's really all targeting women and children. Do you ever see someone's sexual orientation attached to every single thing they do, they eat, or say? Nowhere except in that community. It's an obsession with perversity. Okay. It appears they've decided it's really not a good idea to call up the queer army to arm up and go out against the straight army. Since I guess maybe somebody talked to them and said, this is not a good look. Or maybe somebody said to them, you know, straight men have guns too. You know, yeah. Self-defense is kind of a thing with these people. And they're usually kind of skilled in their use. And like, you know, ready to use them in defense of their families? Probably not a good idea to start talking trash about taking up arms against the normal people. Yeah, because, you know, there's normal. And that's what conforms to nature. And then there's abnormal or deviant, which is at war with or contrary to nature. And that's why the LGBTQ, look, that's another thing. I'm getting so tired of this LGBTQ. Give me a break. It's just queer. That's just one word for the whole thing. They do it. They call it queer. And that's what it is. It's very queer. I mean, it's a word and it means strange or odd. That's the first meaning. The second is, by the way, listen to this, denoting or relating to a sexual or gender identity that does not correspond to established ideas of sexuality and gender, end quote. So, there you go. Perfect. Every one of the letters in this LGBTQIA blah, 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 blah refers to queer sexual behavior. I think I'm just tired of these demented, and I'm using it in the sense of the second meaning of the word, driven to behavior irrationally. This is irrational. Whether it's due to anger, distress, or excitement, or whether it's due to a perverse ideology that advocates for behaviors that are queer, abnormal, unnatural, and dangerous. Life-shortening. I'll have to give my update on human trafficking, the next pandemic, Nimrod Rising. Friend, I've got to go. It's 4:25 a.m. I'm exhausted. Been up all day and all night. I need to get at least a couple of hours sleep before I start my day tomorrow. It's been a very long day. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now, you let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Send me an email. You can leave me a message on our listener response hotline, 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in joy.
God's War. Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to www.books@dbp.com.